Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the Free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. You could also find us on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're looking forward to that conversation. We'll get into Stu's Stinky Raiders coming up in a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys having a good offensive performance last night. We'll mix in a ton on the NFL, and we will start in the world of college football. I am fascinated today, on this Tuesday, on the 18th day of November in the year of 2025, as to what Lane Kiffin will do and what Kenny Dillingham will do. We now know that James Franklin is off the board. James Franklin is off to Virginia Tech. So James Franklin was not going to LSU. He's not going to Florida. He's not going to Auburn. He's not going to Arkansas. Like, any job that he was speculated for, I also think it means that Mike Norvell is going to be safe at Florida State. Could they still get rid of him? But there was a theory that, okay, James Franklin knew, and it was the worst kept secret, that Virginia Tech was willing to do whatever it takes to go get James Franklin. And James Franklin knew he had Virginia Tech in his back pocket, which, quite frankly, it is a really good fit for the coach that is James Franklin. But is Virginia Tech the biggest job? No. So if you were probably not going to land at another Big Ten school, or you weren't going to land at another SEC school, and I thought it would have been foolish for James Franklin to go to another Big Ten school or stay or go to the SEC, because I don't think James Franklin is a national championship winning coach. And if you're in the Big Ten or you're in the SEC, those are the two premier conferences. Those are the two power conferences. So the expectations, whether it was from day one or eventually down the road, would be to win a national championship at either of those programs. Like, when James Franklin talks about, oh, we'll just go win a national championship somewhere else, when it gets announced yesterday that he's the head football coach at Virginia Tech, does anyone for a second think that James Franklin's winning a national championship at Virginia Tech? No. But with that being said, he could go to Virginia Tech and do something eerily similar to what he did at Penn State, win not 8 to 10 games a year, win a Big Ten championship, which he did one time, and you could go to the ACC and you win 8 to 10 games a year at Virginia Tech in the year of 2026 and move it on, they'll bow down to you. And if you win one ACC championship, they're going to be doing cartwheels in the streets. So I thought for a second that James Franklin was going to wait, and James Franklin was going to have a deadline. And the one thing he needed to hear, or the one thing he needed to see, was Florida State not move off of Mike Norvell. And Mike Norvell was basically issued a warning shot by his AD when his AD a few weeks ago came out and said, Mike Norvell is our coach until the end of the season, and then we'll reevaluate. You know what that means? Hey, boosters, fork over the dinero. And if you could fork over the dinero, the 50-something million dollars, we will fire Mike Norvell. But if you don't, then he's going to remain our head football coach. They're gonna use the money as an excuse. And we had Tommy Bowden on this show. He said Florida State, I think it was 2 weeks ago, doesn't have the money, and he anticipates Mike Norvell to come back. So James Franklin going into the weekend knew, I'm going to put it out there that I'm in talks with Virginia Tech. And everyone ran with it. That deal was already done. He had the contract. It was getting looked over. Like, he knew if he wanted the job, he could take it. But that was the one last shot heading into the weekend. Let me be the story. And then is there any back channel, or maybe they just call up his agent, communication with Florida State, what's your update? Because if you were James Franklin, you could land at Florida State. It's kind of a Venn diagram where it's like, okay, you went to Penn State. It's on one side. You built them back up. You did a good job at Penn State, but when you needed to go compete for a national championship, you came up short of that goal. And then going to Virginia Tech is, okay, it's in the ACC. You're not going to win a national championship. You could go be good, and good there will be viewed as great. And those are the two sides. And if you blend Penn State and Virginia Tech together, it's kind of the Florida State job, where you could be the head coach of Florida State, and you could say, hey, we're going to go win a national championship, and it's more believable at Florida State than it would be going to Virginia Tech, right? And you're in the ACC, so it's not a premier conference. It's not the Big Ten and the SEC. Florida State, which is a huge job filled with tradition, that would be the middle of Penn State and Virginia Tech. That would be the middle of the Venn diagram. So James Franklin was waiting and waiting and waiting, and you could only wait so much because James Franklin's going to have all these recruits that were lined up to go to Penn State. I'm not saying all of them are going to go, but there's going to be a good number of recruits that he had, whether his current players at Penn State or former players that stay at Penn State, or these recruits that wanted to commit to him and did commit to him. Now a lot of them are going to say, even though Penn State's a bigger brand than Virginia Tech, I fell in love with Coach Franklin. If the money's there and Virginia Tech has money, in a world of name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal and all that stuff, and those guys aren't, you know, officially, right, locked into Penn State, some of them, it's going to be very easy if they want to follow Coach James Franklin to do so. And it's kind of crazy, the world that we live in, that a school in Virginia Tech can now steal away from Penn State. And we could talk about Lane Kiffin because we've got off the name of James Franklin. Now everyone's jumping in on the name of Lane Kiffin. And Lane Kiffin, to me, is a better coach than James Franklin. I think Lane Kiffin can win a national championship. I don't think James Franklin can win a national championship. But now everyone is centered around, okay, the Franklin domino has fallen. What's LSU doing? What's Florida doing? Is the Lane train going to be staying put in Oxford, Mississippi? And that also even highlights the new world that we're in now. Could you imagine 5 years ago telling someone the head football coach at Ole Miss could be highly coveted by Florida? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm good. Or that the head coach at Ole Miss could be highly coveted by LS freaking U, that has had three separate coaches since 2000. Saban, Miles, Ed Orgeron, go Tigers. Win national championships. And Lane Kiffin, we live in a world where he could say thanks, but no thanks. So now the reporting is, according to On3, that Ole Miss, their athletic director, they have issued a deadline to Lane Kiffin. And it's November 28th, the day of the Egg Bowl, right? Ole Miss, Mississippi State, you got to give us a answer by then. Right, that was the deadline. We talked about this story yesterday. Now, Lane Kiffin, there's also been reporting that his family over the weekend, I guess Sunday and then leading into Monday, I guess one day the family was in Gainesville and the next day the family was in Baton Rouge, right? Not Lane, at least from what I've seen, but his family. I think it was his ex-wife was checking out some of the places too. So the full court press has been on for now 2 years, it seems like, in Gainesville. And now the LSU Tiger family is recruiting Lane Kiffin as well. And I said this yesterday. I said, I feel like it's 50-50. And yesterday I leaned that Lane Kiffin was going to leave Ole Miss. Today I wake up and I go, hold on. As we try to search through all these reports and decipher what's true and what's false. Is Florida interested in Lane Kiffin? Absolutely. Is LSU interested in Lane Kiffin? Absolutely. But this report about the deadline makes me say, something seems up. You know, if you're Ole Miss and you're really concerned about losing Lane Kiffin, and you know you're Ole Miss and you're competing in the same pool as Florida and LSU, are you really going to try to big you-know-what Lane Kiffin here? We're going to force you into decision and we're going to make a deadline. Because if that's the case, wouldn't Lane Kiffin just be like, you're not telling me what to do. I'm going to do this on my terms. Look what I've done at Ole Miss. I could go to a place like Florida. I could go to a place like LSU. That is viewed as a better job. So that report coming on out, and I'm going to take the report as true, even though Lane Kiffin denied it. We'll get to it in just a second. I think the Kiffin camp is behind that report in some capacity. I do. Or I think it's that the Ole Miss camp is behind that report in some capacity. And I don't know if a deadline was actually given, but I do believe that's a dog and pony show that goes on if Ole Miss or Lane Kiffin is confident and believes that they're going to stay or he's going to stay at Ole Miss. Because you could float out there if it's coming from the Ole Miss side, hey, look, Florida and LSU wanted him, and Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin said, thanks, but no thanks, I'm staying at Ole Miss. Or if you're Lane Kiffin, you could float this out there. Yeah, they're going to impose a deadline, right? But I got interest in Florida. I got interest in LSU. You know, maybe he's playing along on this front that, yeah, I'm entertaining Florida, I'm entertaining LSU, and maybe there's a few more things that he wants. And that's how he uses that as leverage from now until November 28th. But I thought long and hard about this last night, and I slept on it. And then I woke up today, and when I woke up today, I'm now thinking to myself that Lane Kiffin's actually going to stay at Ole Miss. I think it's a flip of the coin. And when the coin gets flipped in the air today, heads he stays, tails he goes, I think it lands on heads today. So I'm believing right now that Lane Kiffin is going to be staying at Ole Miss. And I'll probably wake up tomorrow and think he's going to Florida. And then I'll probably wake up on Thursday and think he's going to LSU. And then on Friday, I think he'll be back at Ole Miss. But right now today, if you say, Zach, gun to your head, is Lane Kiffin back at Ole Miss next year? I'm going to reluctantly, nervously say yes. I think he's back at Ole Miss. But I don't think you mess with happiness right now. And also, if something is good enough, I don't think in this climate now of name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal that you need to go get the quote-unquote bigger job if you have the smaller job and things are humming. Think about this. Kurt Cignetti said, yeah, I'm good on Penn State. I'm going to stay at Indiana. There is a world where Lane Kiffin says, yeah, I'm good in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm not going to Gainesville. I'm not going to Baton Rouge. Those are, Cignetti's already a fact. Lane Kiffin is a legitimate possibility. Now, Kenny Dillingham was talking all big after his game over the weekend. And Kenny Dillingham basically said that he was staying as the head football coach of Arizona State. Now, this is a tale going back years and years and years, as old as time, where we've had head football coaches saying they're not leaving and then they leave. Remember Nick Saban? I will not be the head football coach at Alabama. Yeah, how did that one work out? With that being said, I thought the Dillingham stuff wasn't as believable as Brent Key. Like when Brent Key sits there and goes on a rant, cut me open and see what colors I bleed. And those guys are in similar situations, both at their schools that they went to college for and now are the head coaches. I believe Brent Key. When I've heard Kenny Dillingham speak about this stuff, I don't know how much I believe it. But we could do the wind horse fingers here. And maybe these two things are connected, maybe they're not, but what does it tell you? There's a report today, and this is from On3, that Arizona State star QB Sam Leavitt and his return to the program of Arizona State in 2026 is doubtful. Leavitt's camp is actively shopping the talented passer at a high level. So I know that Leavitt got hurt and he's out for the season. Leavitt, it doesn't appear like he's going to go back to the, you know, going to go to the NFL draft. He could go back to Arizona State or he could go somewhere else. So what Leavitt and Dillingham have as a partnership has been successful. Why leave it? Well, maybe you're leaving it because you know that your coach is leaving, or you think your coach is leaving, or you could be a package deal and go somewhere else together. So let's say, even though I never thought James Franklin was going to land at LSU, but I thought he could potentially land at Florida. But with James Franklin off the board, and let's just say Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss, Kenny Dillingham will then become a hot commodity. Kenny Dillingham is young, energetic, and look what he's been able to do just in the last two seasons at Arizona State. I think Kenny Dillingham could get Florida. I think Kenny Dillingham could get LSU. And if you're Kenny Dillingham, is it plausible to then bring Sam Leavitt to LSU or bring Sam Leavitt to the Swamp? Absolutely. Is it also plausible that Kenny Dillingham goes to Florida, Kenny Dillingham goes to LSU, and he has a different quarterback than Sam Leavitt? Yes. And if that's the case, if you're Sam Leavitt, who's supposed to be a big-time quarterback, why would you then stay at Arizona State? So let's just hear how some of these coaches have handled these things. This is Kenny Dillingham, you know, over the weekend reaffirming that he is staying at Arizona State.
I was never leaving, Greg. Contrary to the betrayal article, I was never leaving. I never said I was leaving. This is home, but you know, you do have to continue to push. And my job running a program is to push and push and push until you can't push anymore. And so Graham was right. I mean, we met on Friday with our admin and people who represent Dr. Crow, and I have a lot of confidence that they're all in. I have a lot of confidence that our administration is pushing the chips to the table on winning in football here.
So that's him basically saying, I never said I'm leaving, right? So that would give me the indication that you're staying. Well, then if you're staying, you have a good relationship with your quarterback. Why is there this report out there, unless the report's just fake news? And maybe it is, I don't know. But why is there then a report that your quarterback's trying to go elsewhere? Oh, maybe it's just okay. He's done with the chapter and it's not two and two are together. Like maybe Kenny Dillingham is going to be the lone survivor at Arizona State. And next year, Sam Leavitt's going to be somewhere else. Or maybe Sam Leavitt doesn't believe that Kenny Dillingham is staying and he's shopping himself to either join Kenny Dillingham elsewhere or maybe just break off from his head football coach. I just think it's something to monitor where I don't think it's just, oh, gee golly, this is out of the blue that there's a report today that Sam Leavitt is looking to go elsewhere. Well, why is that? Well, maybe what his coach was trying to sell us over the weekend wasn't actually true. Now, here is Lane Kiffin today. This is on the Pat McAfee show. And I like Pat. Pat used to work here. I understand Pat's show is very successful, and Pat is not a big J journalist, all right? He goes on the show. It's not going to be a traditional interview, and he's going to let the guests get away with some things. I would have pressed Lane Kiffin a little bit more. Maybe that's why Lane Kiffin's on Pat's show, and he's not coming on the Zach Gelb show, even though we have a good relationship with Ole Miss. And I will praise the Ole Miss sports information directors because they've given us some players through the years, and I always enjoy our conversations with the powers that be at Ole Miss. But this is Lane Kiffin on the Pat McAfee show. When Lane was asked, was he given, this is really only part of the conversation, but his future, was he given an ultimatum by Ole Miss in order to have a decision by the end of the month on November 28th?
That's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there. Like I said, man, we're having a blast. I love it here. I mean, our running back's sitting right over here. Come on over. And it just couldn't be better. Like I said, you pray for things. Our fans prayed for this type of thing, and now we're in the middle of it. So enjoy it. You're 10-1. You're getting ready. You got a bye week. You get to watch half the country lose, and there's no way we can lose Saturday. And then you play the Egg Bowl and go dominate that and keep that Egg Bowl trophy home where it's been for a long time.
I will tell you, when I hear that answer, part of me goes, he gone, right? Oh, let me ask about your future and this ultimatum that may have been issued by Ole Miss on a decision that they need from you by the Egg Bowl. Oh, yeah, bring my running back over here that has 19 touchdowns. Let's throw him right into the fire. The bus is backing up, and you're just trying to get out of the limelight and answering that question. But for some reason, I feel right now that Lane's going to stay. Will I crush him if he takes the Florida job? No. Will I crush him if he takes the LSU job? No. If it's Ole Miss or Florida, and if it was me, I would stay at Ole Miss. If it's Ole Miss and LSU, personally, I would go to LSU. But something is just saying, in a little voice that goes off in my cabeza, it's saying, Zach, Lane is staying. He's staying at Ole Miss. That's what you're thinking today. I don't know if you'll think that way in about an hour or even by tomorrow, but today, I'm telling you right now, he's staying. He's staying. He's staying. He's staying. That's what's going off in my cabeza. All righty, Stu, I think we're going to do this each and every day until the decision comes out. Where are you at today? Is Lane Kiffin staying at LSU or at Ole Miss? Yes or no?
I think he's leaving, and I still think he's going to LSU.
Okay. Chris Persiainen, will Lane Kiffin be staying at Ole Miss?
Zach, I think you committed a Freudian slip when you said staying at LSU. That's a question for next year's radio show, because that's where he'll be a year from now.
Okay. So Stu and Chris Persiainen thinks he's going to LSU.
Roar.
Roar, Tiger. Go, Tiger. Go, Tigers. They should just bring back Coach O, for crying out loud. I miss Coach
Go
O.
Go, Tigers.
Oh, that's just delicious. It really is hearing that guy say, Go, Tigers.
Go, Tigers.
I loved how he said that after each and every interview. Phenomenal. And one of the more interesting, not even coach, just person that I've ever met. Oh, I love me some Ed O. He's a good dude. Alrighty, what do you think Lane Kiffin's going to do? What do you think Kenny Dillingham's going to do? Is Kenny Dillingham back at Arizona State next year? Stu, yes or no?
I think Kenny is back at Arizona State.
Chris Persiainen?
I think he's back because they've got some boosters recently. Arizona State, even on just the basketball side, they're getting money from I don't know where.
So why is there a report that the quarterback's looking to leave?
You
is that just challenging him? Like, hey, I could maybe leave. Give me more money.
You said it earlier.
Possibility.
You said it earlier. Hey, boosters.
Mm-hmm.
You like your head coach? Because we know you don't. You want a new one? Donate. It's the same thing. Hey.
Yeah, just reverse. They actually like these people.
Exactly. They like the coach. They like the QB. The QB's saying, hey, you like me?
Mm-hmm.
Pay me like it.
I think Kenny Dillingham's gone. I do.
Oh.
And I like him, but there's just the whole way he's approached this, just like Eli Drinkwitz. And there's nothing against him. I don't fault the coaches for leaving if they leave Arizona State and Missouri. But there's just something to me when they're talking about it. It doesn't seem sincere. It doesn't seem genuine like the way Brent Key talks about it. And maybe Brent Key's going to be the one that ends up stabbing us all in the back and misleading us. Maybe he's a master at that craft. All righty, we'll take a break when we come on back. The Raiders don't have a coach or a quarterback. What else is new? Tell me another day that ends in Y. And can the Cowboys make a little bit of a playoff push? Is that about to happen? We'll discuss 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Tyrann Mathieu going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. This is the Zach Gelb Show. All righty, the game last night kind of went how we expected it to go between the Raiders and the Cowboys. At first, I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, maybe the Raiders can make this a game unexpectedly just because of how bad the Cowboys' defense is. But then once the Cowboys actually got going and George Pickens and also CeeDee Lamb were benched on the first drive and we don't really know why they were benched, I would have to assume, Stu, and I know that Brian Schottenheimer wasn't going to throw his players under the bus afterwards. I'll tell you, Shoddy, I'm actually impressed by him this year. Because I don't think the team is that good. And Jerry Jones, I know he made the moves at the deadline to go get Wilson over from the Bengals and then get Quinnen Williams. But when you trade one of your top three players before the start of the season and it's on the defensive side of the ball, which is your biggest weakness, we all went from the Cowboys maybe saying, okay, at best they could be an 8 or 9 win team to like, oh, this is going to be 6 or 7 wins. But Schottenheimer, you see what I did right there? Yeah, Chris Persiainen got it. That's why I know Chris Persiainen is young. 6 or 7 wins. 6, 7. Are you tired? How old are you, Percy? What are you, 24?
23. And did you know that the two cuts you used in hour one were cuts 6 and 7 on your cut sheet?
No, I did not. But no one else would notice that. But that's kind of funny right on cue. They are 6-7.
Stu had me. I was like embarrassed because when Stu was like, yo, you got to have cuts 6 and 7 ready here. I was like, I can't giggle because then I'll be a child.
Percy Einen, well, you are a child, but Percy Einen looks over to Stu and just goes, 6-7? And it probably went right over Stu's head 6 or 7 times as well. I was at the Pats-Jets game on Thursday night, and at one point the score was Patriots 6, Jets 7 before they hit the extra point. And I'm there with Ray Martell, right, who is a longtime producer and is now the executive producer of Mets Radio. And I don't know, Ray must be 50? I'm going to guess 50? Maybe mid to late 40s? I think Ray, though, just turned 50. I could be wrong on that. And then we were there with our buddy, the Chief, as the Chief is an excellent Patriot fan and tailgater. And he is 65 or 66 years old. And both of them in unison, I didn't say 66 or 67 years old there, Chris Persianen, but both of them in unison, right? I am the youngest one of this bunch. I am 31 years old. I'm there with a 50-year-old and a 65 or 66-year-old, and they both go, 6-7, 6-7! And the kids sitting behind us who were 20, 21, 22, they thought it was the funniest thing that those two old geezers knew what 6-7 was. But anyway, Stu, the Raiders, I watched them last night. I'm a little bit impressed by Brian Schottenheimer, just with the way that he's been able to salvage this season and not make it as dreadful as what it probably should have been. And, you know, I know Aikman laughed it off last night, and I'll do so as well. But when it gets asked him, I think it was by SVP after the game, and when he's talking to Aikman, and he goes, oh, can the Cowboys maybe get back in the mix and go on a playoff push here? We all kind of chuckle at it, but this could have been a lot worse than what it looked like it was going to be, especially with how bad the defense is. But with how bad the Cowboys defense is, how brutal Geno Smith looked last night, and how I feel bad for Pete Carroll. This is what happens when you stick around for too long and you're addicted to coaching. You had an unbelievable career. You won the Russell Wilson battle and you've already won a Super Bowl. You're going to most likely be a Hall of Famer. You had all that winning, whether they'll acknowledge it or not, at USC. You should be enjoying life right now. You shouldn't be coaching football, and you shouldn't be coaching the Raiders, where when he gets the job, the expectation is, oh, just try to get them stabilized. Like, go have an 8 or a 9-win season just one time and just set it up for the next guy so when he takes over the job, he's not taking it over with nothing to build off of. Build up the house a little bit. But I'm watching this last night. The Raiders look lost. Geno Smith, he doubled down after having Pete Carroll a very successful time at the blackjack table. He's winning all this money for what happened at Seattle. And then he gets to the Raiders and he goes, oh, I still got a bunch of funds. Let me try to win a certain way at blackjack with that money. And I'm going to start betting bigger money and expecting me to win again. And guess what? Then you lose. Bringing in Geno Smith to the Raiders just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. They should have been after Sam Darnold. You know, they should have been after at least a younger quarterback. But you're going with Geno Smith on a 2-year deal? He's cooked. He's done. That fairy tale, it's over. And now you got Pete Carroll there. He's not going to salvage this situation. And it's going to end in a... Like, honestly, I know it's the Raiders, and it would be tough to do this in back-to-back years because it would be back-to-back years of one-and-dones. I would get rid of Pete Carroll. I don't expect them to. I think he will absolutely be back next year. But where is this heading to? He has a 3-year timeline. Year one has been an unmitigated disaster. It's been brutal. Chip Kelly was a terrible hire. I said it right before the season started. Why would you bring in Chip Kelly? So you don't have an offensive coordinator, you don't have a head coach, and you don't have a quarterback. In the year of 2025, that means that you're going to have a lot of performance like we saw last night. Losing, 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 losing. Stu, is there any optimism? Right? At this point...
No, there's not. There's none.
Like, you're just sitting there and you go, oh, Zach, this is the same old Raiders. Did you expect anything different? Because if you did, shame on you, correct?
Yeah, and even like the exciting guys like Bowers, he's been hurt for most of the year. Genty, I mean, they can't block, so he can't do anything. He had 7 yards on 6 carries last night. Like, just a disaster. It's so bad, and I think you're kind of right. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think, you know, I think maybe they have to let him go and just start from scratch again.
Now, here's the other thing. We get to the Cowboys part of it. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens What do they do in Sin City on Sunday night? Because they were benched for the first drive of the game, right? Or like, what meeting did you miss? And that happened, oh, I forget what, you know, who else got benched. Oh, it was Keon Coleman. He was late to it for a team meeting, and he got benched for the entire game. They made him a healthy and active. Now, Keon Coleman is not George Pickens. Keon Coleman is not CeeDee Lamb. Like, those are guys that have proven track records in this league. George Pickens has been unbelievable for them this year, even when CeeDee Lamb was out. And CeeDee Lamb is one of the top three or four wide receivers, you know, three to five wide receivers, top six or seven wide receivers in the NFL. And he's been tremendous. So those guys could get away with a little bit if you're like 6 or 7 seconds late there on that sound effect. That was pretty good. But yeah, they could get away with a little bit more, obviously, and a lot more than Keon Coleman. But I would probably imagine, Stu, that, and I don't want to assume here, but I'm going to assume here, that maybe George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb had a little bit too much fun when they were supposed to be somewhere on Sunday night would probably just be my guess.
That would make sense, yeah. Just like one drive, one punt, yeah, small punishment, but yeah.
Maybe they went crazy out to a nice restaurant and probably had a nice dinner, right? That's probably what they did. But you look at the Cowboys. They're 4-5-1. What happened 2 weeks ago against the Cardinals was just terrible. You know, the game against the Panthers were ugly. But you look at it so far, they were respectable up against the Eagles to open up the year. They should have lost that game to the Giants, but they won in overtime. You had a terrible Russell Wilson interception. You got blown out by the Bears. You tie the Packers. That was basically a win for you. Then you beat the Jets. You lose to the Panthers. You beat the Commanders. You lose to Denver. You lose to Arizona. And then you beat the Raiders. So you're looking at it 4-5-1. It's not a bad job by Brian Schottenheimer. With that being said, though, here are the next three games for the Cowboys. Eagles. Short week. Chiefs. At the Lions. If you're sitting there today saying, hey, Troy Aikman, you think they go on a playoff push? You know why Troy laughed in Scott Van Pelt's face last night? It's because those are their next three games. And then after that, you play Minnesota, the Chargers. So it doesn't get that much easier. And then you wrap up the season with a bad Commanders team and a bad Giants team. So how many wins do you think? Oh, this is going to work out so perfectly, too. How many wins do you think the Cowboys are going to get, Stu? Just go win or loss with me. Eagles.
Loss.
Chiefs.
Loss.
Lions.
Loss.
Vikings.
Win.
Chargers.
Win.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, why not?
Commanders.
They'll win that one too.
Okay, so that would put them at, go from 6 to 7 wins, and then the Giants.
Win.
So they have 8 wins. See, I told you that's why it was intentionally going to work. I thought it was going to be between 6 or 7, honestly. Chris Persiainen. Cowboys and Eagles. Who wins?
Philly.
Okay. Then the Cowboys play the Chiefs. Just go win-loss.
Loss.
Okay. Then they play the Lions in Detroit.
Loss.
Then they are home up against Minnesota, Sunday Night Football game, a game that I will be doing for Compass.
Win.
Okay. Chargers.
Loss.
At the Commanders.
Win.
Okay. Giants.
Double win.
There you go. So 5, 6, 7 wins right there for the Dallas Cowboys this year.
There you go.
There you go. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. We will come on back. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, the Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. This week's player is Broncos cornerback Jaquan McMillan in Sunday's 22-19 win over the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? McMillan had 6 tackles, 2 sacks, and an interception. Kansas City falls to 5-5 on the season, as you do have the Denver Broncos elevated to 9-2. How about that? Look at the Broncos. You a believer in the Broncos, Stu? Even though you're a Raiders fan? You look at the Broncos, you think that they're a team that maybe gets the Super Bowl this year?
I picked them preseason to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I think I have to stick with it at this point, even though Bo Nix is very inconsistent at best, but I feel like I will stick with the Broncos in the AFC.
Can I tell you what's going through Chris Persianen's head right now?
I think I know.
Did you put some money down on that?
I didn't, no.
Right, KP? Isn't that what you were thinking?
Or about how Bo Pix might throw him out of a game, but you never know.
It's possible. It is very possible.
See, I remember Bo Nix when he was at Auburn and he was Bo Pix. A lot of people don't remember it at Auburn. They just remember what happened at Oregon. And then in Denver last year, right, they go to the playoffs. No one thought that was going to happen. And this year, they could be the number one overall seed. I get he's not playing great, but I will wait until the moment is really bad to go back to the Bo Pix nickname. Because I did love that nickname when he was at Auburn. Let me tell you that. All righty, let's go to Pete Carroll. It's been ugly for Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, and Chip Kelly, the three disasters out there in Sin City. They have a lot of sins these days. Pete Carroll was talking about the first half play call.
It was 31 dropbacks in that first half, three runs. Is that, I mean, I can't imagine that that's something that you like to look
at. Yeah, it wasn't 31 dropbacks. It was a bunch of play action passes. And really, I really wanted to see us do that. There's only one person to look at, me, because I was influenced on the game plan. I loved the way we were chunking them and we made big plays. I knew what was happening, you know, and Chip and I knew what was going on, but we were trying to stay with it and to see if we could continue to get the big plays, which we were getting.
It wasn't 31 dropbacks. They were just play action passes. So do they have the option?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
To run the ball?
This is like I completely take accountability for what went wrong in the art classroom. It is really funny that there's paint all over the walls, but you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is Pete Carroll. I know the toothpaste is already out of the tube, and I've already said too many negative things about Chip Kelly, so I just don't want to make that be the thing, and we all know that he's going to be out, Chip Kelly, at the end of the season. Geno Smith, he says the red zone failures was where this game was lost.
Yeah, we scored touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, it's that simple. You know, they were playing coverage pretty much, playing Tampa 2, just backing up, kind of daring us to run the ball some of those times. And, you know, we took our shots and we didn't convert. And we all got to play better. I got to do better, you know, and got to be better for the guys.
I may need to put out a welfare check on Chris in California because I'm surprised he hasn't called us up yet and has been demanding to see Kenny Pickett on the field. I haven't heard from Chris in about 3 weeks about Kenny Pickett, so I'm a little bit concerned. Brian Schottenheimer tried to explain why CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were benched on the opening drive.
I made a coach's decision. There were some things that were missed, and so I had a conversation with those guys, and that was easy. But, I mean, you look at the energy those guys play with, you know. Clarence, I like, you know, they jump-started the offense when they got back in there. They didn't hang their heads. They didn't do any of that stuff, and that's why I love those guys, man.
That is a player's coach that is not a doormat. That's a guy, like, if you just let the star players get away with that, you're a doormat. I like that Brian Schottenheimer was not a doormat in that spot. Let's go to Jordan Mailata, the Eagles' big offensive tackle, is on Sports Radio 94 WIP. He responded to Derek Gunn's report that the team and coaches, some of them, are reportedly fed up with quarterback Jalen Hurts.
I can't speak on what Derek's saying. If that's what he's saying, I'm not going to sit here and tell him, you know, hey, how dare you.
Sure.
Hey. He's how long has he been part of the media?
G Gunn?
Long time?
Yeah, he's
a couple of decades.
Not gonna lie, he's like the Mount Rushmore of Eagles.
So yeah. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, that's what he sees. I don't see it. You know, I know how much work Jalen puts into this, and so, you know, I just have to, I'm not gonna I don't know how to address that.
Sure.
I'll be honest. I don't know how to address that. It wasn't addressed in the team meeting, so I don't think we're going to make it a bigger deal than what people are making it outside this building. But I'm on the same wavelength as you. Like, I think it's kind of unfair to say that he's the main problem. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I come on this show every week and we break down the run game and we break down how that's not opening the passing game, and then we break down protection and how we missed the call here and missed the block here, and so we're giving up sacks or we're giving up pressures. It's not, you know, it's causing Jalen a scramble, and so yeah, I think it's kind of crazy.
I think that's him saying, if I could translate it for him, he doesn't have an issue with Jalen. He's good with Jalen. But since he didn't totally dismiss the report, yes, he could frame it as, oh, I'm doing that out of respect to Derek. Derek is a longtime reporter, Derek Gunn, D. Gunn. A very well respected, and the players love him. So I'm not going to totally crap on his report, but maybe some guys are actually upset with Jalen Hurts. That's what I kind of think Jordan Mailata is saying there by giving that minute denial, where it didn't really sound as if it was a denial 110%. Let's go to Sark. This is a good little back and forth with the media on the thought that Texas has been a disappointment.
What would you say the main reasons are this team is underachieved?
According to who?
Well, even your preseason number one, I think most people would agree, three losses is not achieving what you are capable of.
I mean, I guess that's into who voted us number one, okay? What I think is that this team has competed their tail off, and we have an opportunity at the end of the regular season to do something that nobody's done since 2019, and that's beat three top 10 ranked teams in the regular season. The last team to do that was LSU with Joe Burrow. So have we been faced with a pretty difficult schedule? Have we been faced with high expectations? Sure, but that's why we came here, so we'll be okay.
Sark, I like you. You have overcome a lot. I respect your story. The last 2 years, you made a 14 college football playoff when you were in the Big 12 at Texas. Last year, first year in the SEC, you made the SEC championship game. Then you were the lone SEC team remaining in the Final Four in a 12-team playoff. And this year, you were going to Arch Manning, and it was, can you take that next step? And you've regressed. You're 7-3. It doesn't mean you suck. It doesn't mean you should be fired, right? You now have to find a way to redeem yourself next year. You and Arch Manning, you guys got to salvage this thing. You guys got to go win next year. But to say that this season, and to act as if it's a foreign language being spoken to you when someone says this season has been a disappointment, you're 7-3. You got three losses. You're not going to make the college football playoff unless you find a way to beat Arkansas and A&M, and then all hell breaks loose, and they basically just throw you in there just to throw you in there because you're Texas. This has been a bad season. This has been a disappointing season for Texas. I know people will be there at, maybe at the end of the year and say, oh, well, you know, they were 8-4. Yeah, 8-4 for Texas this year is obviously a disappointment if they beat Arkansas and they lose to A&M. Like, what's their great win this year? All right, Vanderbilt, that's their best win. And Vanderbilt's a good team, but come on. They were terrible against Ohio State offensively. They lost to Florida, who stinks. All right, you beat Oklahoma, I'll give you that. Mateer should have never played in the game, and that's why I liked you to win that game. And then you lost to Georgia. Not only lost to Georgia, you lost 35-10. The game got away from you in the fourth quarter, and your quarterback looked like he was crying at the end of the game. That's a news brief. Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, going to join us on the other side when we do return after these short messages.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.